close out the week. It's Friday. Real Kipper and Bourne Show, Leaf Edition. On this Friday, we are live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and Sportsnet Plus. Currently coming off American Thanksgiving. 9 games right now currently. Do I have that right? 9 and yeah. 1 already in the books with the Philadelphia Flyers and the New York Rangers.
Rangers stink.
3-1 losers to the Philadelphia Flyers, and it could have been a lot uglier if it wasn't for a goalie named Shesterkin.
Yeah, it's funny because fans and the organization, when it was 12-6-1, were all panicked, and I was sitting here like, what is happening? And they saw something we didn't see. That team is not playing good hockey. Yeesh.
In the meantime, I'm Nick Kiprios. He's Justin Bourne. He's Sammy McKee. Who else we got? We got Austin Mackey.
Yeah.
Where's he from? Like, he just drops in our lap?
Yeah, he's a grinder. He does everything around here. So I don't know where Derek didn't text me. He didn't text me. He didn't tell me he wasn't coming in today.
That's okay.
Just goes to the boys.
Austin's old hat.
Yeah, he's good. He's got it under control.
Not a worry in the world with Austin Mackey and Jake the Snake Schultz.
Yeah.
So it's a Friday, which means an off day for the Toronto Maple Leafs as they gear up for Hockey Night in Canada matchup with the Tampa Bay Lightning. Their second game in the state of Florida. Good news, right?
Oh, yeah.
Certain players coming back. Austin Matthews, Matthew Knies.
But you lose another one with McMahon going out. So if two come back, one has to
McMahon
go.
Who needs McMahon when you have Pontus Holmberg?
Yeah. Doesn't sound like it's serious for
McMahon. He's
going to
miss
McMahon.
A couple games, maybe.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Holmberg is going to take his spot on the Tavares and Marner line. So you got Holmberg, Tavares, Marner. And then Knies, Matthews, William Nylander. I specify William because it's not Alex.
You know, we have been spending a lot of time, we were mentioning this off air, talking about a team that doesn't play hockey. They have been on the English Premier League schedule where they play once, maybe twice a week here for the last three. Mm. And, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see because they've been able to get by with the Marlies here. Like, they've been able to get by with some soft competition and them, you know, not having all their guys. But that's about to change. They're about to start playing hockey every other night for a full month. Be really interesting to see how they handle it. You know, you get Matthews back, you get Knies back, but you're
really
still...
Really good time, right?
Still, your bottom six is not pretty.
No. Right now, go ahead, Ken.
No, you go ahead.
The bottom six, third line is looking like Robertson, Minton, Lorenz. And Steve's Dewar Grabenkin.
Okay.
All right, before we get into some sound bites through a few Kipper Clippers, including Austin Matthews on his return, where do you sum up tomorrow night in terms of the importance, should I say, of a win? Mm-hmm. More so than a good effort, because they have been able to make some strides in the Atlantic, even with the loss, they're still there in the first place in the division. But does losing to Florida and then losing to Tampa on Saturday night sour you a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, not on anything so much as not good. You know, I think it's been hard to get a read for what this team is. What's been so impressive is how well the call-ups have played to put them in a position to be in games. And then Marner has been fantastic to kind of get them over the hump in a lot of different states. So they've been getting points, but it's been tough to assess the team here. Yeah. Like, I don't know that my opinion on this team has changed a whole lot. Is there enough guys back with Knies and Matthews, their first games back in a long time with that weak bottom six to say this team is anything? I don't know. I don't know if it's a, what do you think? Is it fair to make an assessment on the team?
I put more value in trying to find a way to win Tampa. A split's okay for me. Losing two teams that you really like to send a message to, and I get it that you're not full in Florida. And could Matthews have played? Could he not? You whether it was his decision or the team's decision or both or one or the, it doesn't matter. You saved him because you think he was going to be that much stronger. Well, okay, then it has to show as early as tomorrow night for me.
No, I totally agree. I love matchups with Tampa. I really have enjoyed the games that the Leafs have played against them over the past few years. Two really good playoff series, the one where the Leafs actually won a playoff series. So I do have good memories.
Huzzah!
I do have good memories watching games in that building. I like the matchup. They have good players that I don't like, and I just think it's a good, fun matchup. But yeah, like, they're not far behind the Leafs in the, like, we talked about the Florida Panthers being right behind the Leafs in the Atlantic Division and that being a big test. What are the Lightning? They're not far behind them at all.
Lightning lead the division in goal differential, and if they were to win tomorrow night, they would have a game in hand and be 2 points behind the Leafs.
So there you go. This is another really big test down in Florida. And I would say that it kind of sucks that at least maybe two biggest rivals are Florida teams. It's not my biggest cup of tea, favorite thing. You know, Boston this year, maybe you could talk about it. But these two teams really seem to be the biggest ones outside of Boston. So it's a big one, and I totally agree. If Matthews is not going to play on Wednesday, and you can talk whatever you want to talk, I think saving him for a couple more nights, you need him to step up and be big tomorrow. That's it.
All right, let's go to Austin Matthews, the captain of the Toronto Maple Leafs, on his return.
Pretty good. It's nice to get another team practice and, you know, work in those drills. And like I said the other day, just the competitive aspect of battling and stuff like that. So, you know, in my mind, I'm playing tomorrow and excited to be back.
All right. And then he's got...
In his mind, he's ready to go.
I think that kind of implies, like, you know, he doesn't have the final say if someone tells him he's not.
Okay.
But yeah, let's...
Should we tee this up a little bit? Like, because there's a story yesterday in the Toronto Sun about Austin Matthews' trip to Germany by Steve Simmons, where they're talking about the nature of the trip and the secrecy of the trip and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think it was maybe McGran. I couldn't quite make out the voice that asked him about sort of the secrecy of his injury and his thoughts on it. And he replied with this clip. Clip two, please, Austin.
I mean, I don't think there's really any secrecy. Like, I don't think we did anything outside of the rules of providing information to you guys in the NHL. So I think it just gets a little bit blown out of proportion with, you know, the marketplace and you guys being a little bit nosy. But in my mind, I mean, we haven't done anything secrecy. I think it's my choice whether or not I want to share the extent of injury. And I mean, you look around the league, lower body injury, upper body injury on every single team. So I think it's just been made out to be a bigger deal than it is. And I mean, I don't really care. It's up for you guys to talk about it and do your thing. But, you know, in the end, I'm just going to focus on myself and focus on the team and being the best that I can.
He makes all valid points here. There is an overall feeling around the league where everybody's on a need-to-know basis, and the league says you guys don't ever need to know. And that's the extent of it. So the secrecy has been there for a very long time. He's just playing that.
Yeah, but like...
Does it need to stop?
Well, it's just like, you know, if you don't want it to be a big deal, if only there were some way to make it not a big deal. You just tell people what's going on. Like, yeah, the guy who gets paid the most on the team has a serious injury. He's going to be... It's his back. It's his whatever. He'll be back shortly. And then people don't have to spend time digging through waste bins to try to figure out what's going
on.
Which
is what they're doing.
Yeah, well, of course. Right? There's an information vacuum. I've been saying the same thing all week.
Yeah.
You leave a vacuum, people fill it with crap. So, well, I don't know.
Yeah, I know. And I've been on both sides now, this side for 20-plus years. I get the thirst and the hunger and writing something that 40 other people are not, or getting to it first, or all of it. I get it. But, I mean, where are we now in the world of gambling? Like, we want their money, but we're not going to tell you if they're playing or not, or if they're hiding an injury or not. I mean, it's a different world now with gambling.
To me, it's like naive. It's like, well, you know, it's only a big deal because of the market. But it's like, you're in this market. You know this market.
That's exactly it.
It's not a surprise.
Yeah, you look around the league. It's upper body, lower body is what he says. It's like, well, look where you are. Don't look around the league because you're in Toronto. Sure, it's not going to matter if it's Carolina.
You're one of the highest profile names in the game.
In the league.
Yes.
Like when I listen to podcasts in the States and they do advertising for Amazon, they'll say, you know, Monday Night Hockey with McDavid, Matthews, Crosby. It's like you are in the first sentence when they're promoting the whole league.
Right.
It's a different story with you, man.
And to be honest,
it is.
We're JT Miller is not as big a name, and it's a much more sensitive issue. And we spent 20 minutes yesterday talking around the edges of it because it's interesting. People want to know. I don't know.
Well,
sorry, God forbid we're nosy.
No.
About the biggest, about one of the biggest superstars in the league that has a mystery injury. He flies to Germany.
He is downplaying. Yeah. How big of a story it is when you're in an organization that has the staff, including the medical staff of a small country, but none of them are good enough to help you get better. You need to go overseas. That's a story.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
That's a big story.
Yep.
So I have no issue with what they did. I have no issue, unlike other people I've talked to, with taking the extra time. Taking the time with a very soft schedule for the Leafs, use that whole time and then get back for the busy part. No problem with how it's been handled.
Including Austin. He doesn't have to open up or give you anything more than what any other player or team has done in the last 20, 30, 100 years.
Yeah.
Right? It's just like, hey, you've not been paying attention. We tell you nothing. So that's the chicken and the egg.
Yeah, I got no issue with how it's handled. I have issue with being surprised or even the little joke about people being nosy. It's like, pay attention.
I think the ideal response to me for that would be, yeah, I understand this market. I understand that people are interested, but I'm just not interested in telling people exactly what's wrong with me. And it's the same way with a lot of players.
Yeah, not that it's like blown up.
You're nosy. It's like, yeah, we are nosy. Yeah. We care the most out of anyone. Sorry.
Care about you.
No, it's just like, it's the Leafs, man. Hey, I don't know if you've noticed or not. They're popular. You're the best player on the team. You know, like, anyways.
Yeah.
We've done enough on that.
Let's talk to or listen to Craig Berube, his thoughts on the return of his captain. Clip one.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, you know, captain of the team and we missed him, you know. He's been out a while, and it's great to have him back. Looking forward to it, and he looks really good out there. A lot of energy, skating well, moving well, so it's good.
All right.
Skating well, moving well. Looks great, so.
Good.
It does, you know, I will say, watching them without Austin Matthews, you know, like Mitch Marner's still brilliant, and Tavares and William Nylander, but it's a different level. It's one of the better players in the league. You kind of forget how good he is, and you sort of look forward to having him back. Just be like, oh, yeah, it's a reminder, because I'm a Dumbo. I've thought to myself over this run, I'm like, oh, maybe they are a little better without him. Like, you know, everyone's got a better role. Everyone plays better without him. He comes back, you're like, oh, right.
I just hope I don't see, like, a lot more forced kind of, he's there, let's.
Yeah.
Just get him the puck as much as possible.
If they played exactly like they've played plus him, that's great.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Exactly.
You know, without saying now we've got to play a different game because of him.
Yeah. And I want to see a similar look to Mitch Marner on a power play with him coming in.
Absolutely.
Because how many times have we seen Mitch in the past barely touch a puck?
Yeah. Well, the best part is, and that's not something that like is even Austin related to me, is like Mitch has to be... He's so good all around the zone. Like, I bet if you looked at, like, a tracer of where people are in the power play, it's him and McDavid is the guys who are the most active and can play all over in the zone on the power play. And I think they're most effective when he's doing that. When suddenly he's at the point, suddenly he's on this flank, suddenly he's goal line. They've looked too stagnant prior to Matthews going out.
Did you see that they're going to the five forward power play?
Yes, I did see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, do we have someone there?
I think to your point there, Kipper, that if you want to keep Mitch playing the way he's been playing on the power play, where he has the puck a lot, that's a great way of doing it, of making him the top of the sort of – I just hate
– For me, Morgan Rielly has been the most guilty in the last year and a half, 2 years of deferring to 34.
Mm-hmm. See, I think that's a great point. 100% agree.
Not Mitch. or anyone else.
And was it not the first game that Matthews is out that Riley floated one in and someone tipped it in?
Yeah.
Like the very first game, it was like, hey, sometimes a better option, just get it through to the net.
I think it was Nyes that tipped it in.
Like, you don't want to get the puck to Matthews when the D is shifted to him. He's flat-footed. He doesn't create, as you've talked about before. He's a guy who, at the end of some plays,
lands on his stick and he fires it in.
Right. I actually liked when Matthews used to play the opposite flank and he'd come up almost out of the zone to the blue and then be coming downhill and do that forehand catch and release sometimes. So, yeah, a little bit of movement wouldn't hurt him.
Okay, do we have the coach on Bobby McMahon?
We do. We have him.
Or where do you want to go, Sammy?
Let's finish the five forward power play from Berube since we're talking about it. Clip three, Berube.
Before we had it with the five forwards, I thought it looked really good. Just the puck movement and quickness of it all. I really like Nyes at the net, and I really like JT in the bumper. So I think just how to make that all work, and we're going to see how it goes. But before we try it, when we did try it, I thought it looked really good, and really that's decision-making that I made.
I mean, I like it. You?
Yeah. I think there's going to be a tendency for Tavares to get right back in front of the blue paint. I think it's going to be hard for him
to... Up in the bumper there?
Well, it's not that I want him up there. I think at times his bread and butter has been right, driving right to the front of the paint. It'll be interesting to see, you know, two men end up there.
I don't hate two men, but probably what has to happen is he has to get his feelings hurt again this season. And it's probably Nyes' spot, and Riley ends up at the top. That's probably, like, the coach
himself
just
said he likes
Nyes.
He'll come in and crash and find some loose change, I think.
I like him as the highest tip and all that, but...
You still feel that way, though, with Tavares? The way he's kind of turned it around here? Because, like, I definitely had that feeling earlier in the year being, like, the ideal scenario would be have Nyes on there, maybe Oliver Ekman-Larsson at the top, but they've really gone away from him on the power play. Like, I'm not convinced that they're better on the power play without Tavares out there anymore because he's been so good this year, especially on the power play.
I think it'll be interesting, too, because, like, you want to keep your lines together. So if you've got Nyes, Matthews, Nylander, you have the chance to then kind of keep that together. I don't know, not take too many pieces from the other line instead of two and two. Mm.
Okay, let's follow. You guys good on that? I want to follow it up with Berube playing Willie Nylander the full...
It's a great clip.
Or the full 2 minutes on power plays recently.
How have you found the whole William staying out for, you know, the full power plays he's been going? Do you plan to stick with that now that you kind of have Austin and now he's better?
Well, he likes it.
Noticed it, yeah.
Got his ice time up. So that's key, right? Got to get the minutes up. Well, I think Willie, again, you know, we're missing a lot of players and... I think Willie staying out there, you know, he's not used on the penalty kill, and the ice time works out well, and he's the type of guy that can handle it. Like, I mean, he plays in a spot there, and he's dangerous. He makes the second unit better. That's the bottom line. He makes the second unit better.
I love that. There's clearly a pretty good relationship between these two guys because that's like he's just making fun of him openly for asking for more minutes.
It's actually really funny if you look at Nylander's ice time over the season. The month of October, I think they paid like 11 whatever games. Yeah. 17.58 was his average ice time.
Wow,
the month
really?
The month of November, all exact same amount of games, 20.34 is the average. So you can laugh, like if you're the coach, like, he is getting his ice time up. Willie's like, I did get my ice time up. I got exactly what I wanted.
Sir, it worked. That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's not really that much different from any other, like, Connor or McKinnon, and they're just going to take whatever they can get, right?
Yeah.
They'd all want to play the 2 minutes. It's not like you're doing down and backs. It's not like you're doing wallies on the thing.
Well, and like not everyone skates as well as Willie and moves as little as Willie. You know what I mean? Like he's the ultimate energy conservation guy on the power play. So
yeah, he can go from absolute zero to 100 pretty fast.
Yeah.
So.
But he's not going to 100 unless has to.
Of the pucks.
And Berube's right.
He's breakaway.
Yes.
He is dangerous out there. The key is it needs to be more for the Leafs than it is sometimes.
Bingo.
The opposition.
Yeah, that's true too.
All right.
Go ahead.
You want to go D or Sammy? Where do you want to go?
Well, you mentioned before we went on it. Do you want to talk about this Tavares stuff that's been
No, I just read, I think it was Chris Johnson in The Athletic maybe, mentioning that they're talking again, or they talked in the fall, and there's a sense that Tavares' contract extension could be possibly moving.
I just don't see, and that very well may be true, and it's probably true. This is not commentary on that.
No.
It's commentary on the fact that, like, what's the point? You know, like, is there...
I'm with you. I'm like, where's the race to get him done?
Like, absolutely no disrespect to him, but, like, his family loves it here. His kids are in hockey programs. They got a house. They're
not Mitch Marner.
What do you mean?
What I mean is Mitch is 27, not 34.
Right.
Mitch isn't in a position right now where he's telling the whole world, I don't want to move, mm-hmm. and it's a top priority for me to stay here. It's like, so why you want to race to go sign John Tavares?
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that if you came to him when the season ends and said, here's your 3x5 or whatever, you know, whatever it is that he's looking for, if you wanted him, and if it works, and I've said this on the show lots, if it doesn't work, I don't think it works,
like,
at all, whatever the number.
The philosophy that fans have had right up until maybe the last week and a half, 2 weeks on Marner is, like, wait until the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you're right, but you don't have the right guy. You need to have that exact attitude on Tavares,
mm-hmm.
not on Mitch Marner.
Yeah, I mean, I agree on Tavares. I don't know if it doesn't work for Mitch, too, but, I mean, you'd know better than I would on that, but I see why.
Well, I don't know. It's just an opinion.
What I would say is, if you're looking at these two, and I think just to your point, you're much more likely to lose Marner if you wait till after the playoffs than you are to lose Tavares if you wait till after the playoffs.
For sure.
But you're not going to lose him unless you want to lose
him. Who, Tavares?
Yes.
Yeah.
You're not going to lose him unless you want to.
That's exactly which, it.
Right?
Is the conversation that I think is a fascinating one.
Which is why I got to see
here
it.
Here we are in the quadruple double down on these four guys.
Mm-hmm.
And the issue right up until going into this season was it was too comfortable
mm-hmm.
for them.
Mm-hmm.
Lack of accountability,
comfort zone.
Everyone got a contract that was maxed.
No consequences.
So why would you be racing right now to go make John Tavares comfortable?
Mm-hmm.
You're getting the best out of him while he's uncomfortable.
Keep it that way.
Yeah.
Like, sign him to a 3-year deal for $15 million, and you're right back in a place where if you do sign Marner, they're all coming back, and they could all lose in the first round again. Mm. And then where is everybody?
Yeah. You're right. And I also don't hate the idea of the motivation for Marner, too. Contract year, like, you're getting a lot out of him right now. He looks fantastic.
He's not motivated. He's going to get his money.
Yeah.
Come on, guys.
You don't think it matters how he plays this year?
Of course it does. No, it doesn't. No. The Leafs are going to offer him $100 million. Okay? No matter what. Does he want it? Sign. You don't want it?
Yeah.
Bye-bye, I guess. But
I just don't think it's a crazy thing to say how he plays doesn't matter.
Like, where do you think he's going to fall off the face of the earth that you don't want to sign him?
Well, I don't know. I mean, if you think you can get, you know, above 100 points, if he can take a step into, you know, the superstardom category.
That's not the difference between $13 million and whatever he ends up with. He's going to get $13 million. So, if he has a great playoff, maybe it's $14 million. Mm-hmm. If he goes to a conference final or a Stanley Cup final, then it's what?
Infinity.
$1 billion.
Well, I'm not getting into this, but it's a way different feeling between trying to get Tavares signed or Marner.
Absolutely.
Right? Like,
I think it only goes up for Marner.
Tavares is the guy that you got to stay. Hey, stay hungry. I don't know what our center ice is going to look like, but if you can come in as a hybrid 2-3 and look like you can battle and get us key points in the playoffs, and we go to a conference final, and I want to try it for two more years, that's an easier sell.
I think with Marner that, you know, there's a baseline that he knows he's going to get. And the pressure, you know, for some of these guys who are in a contract year, they're like, oh, my God, if I score 40 goals this year, I might get $4 million extra or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a baseline, like you said, the $100 million thing, whatever, if that's true or not. But if he only plays better, it's just going
to
go up.
For like, sure. I don't think it worries as much.
Like, to his point about the pressure thing and feeling a contract year, mm-hmm. I think it's different for a guy like Marner where – the baseline is guaranteed
he's
there.
He's just going to do what he's done every year, and that's be on 100. On 100-point pace every year, and every year either he's hurt or he's a healthy scratch and he doesn't get it. But just for people to say he's not a 100-point guy.
He's not. He's never got 100 points.
Stop it.
He's never got 100 points.
No, he's a 100-point guy.
He's not. He's never got it.
He's a 100-point per game pace guy.
Is Matthews a 70-goal guy?
Okay.
Is Matthews a 70-goal guy?
I mean, yes.
Even if he scored 70, he's not a 70 goal guy.
It's not semantics.
It's a career year.
It's not semantics. He did not 100.
All right. All right. Are we done with this?
Yeah, we're done.
Good chat.
Fraser Minton. We got a clip from Berube on him. He's going to be centering Robertson, who is still getting opportunities. God love him. Let's hear the thoughts on Minton.
Yeah, for sure. He's got a lot of room for growth. He's a young kid that has not had much experience in the NHL for sure, and didn't really get much playing time in the minors before he was called up because we need him. Like, he's just got to keep working on his game and working on, like, reading the play better. And the NHL level, it's quick, right? And you know, you got to anticipate and. He's very positionally sound player. You know, I think that it takes time. It's not just going to happen overnight. It's going to take time.
That's interesting.
Well, it sounds like you'll be going to play with the Marlies.
Sounds more long-term than some of our conversations.
Yes, I think it's safe to say. And if he came along 3 years ago, it would have been perfect for him now to be in that position of, yeah, this is our third line centerman.
Yeah.
But he's not there yet. And in a year where you've got to compete for the Stanley Cup, in all probability, he won't be ready for that.
Yeah. It's interesting comments to say he has to work on reading the play better and he's very positionally sound in the same sentence. You know, that's interesting to me that he's.
That just sounds like making the decisions faster.
Yeah.
Right? Or it's like a faster league.
That's great. I've said the other day, like, these guys, it'd be better for them to have the puck, be the man, be on the power play, play 20 minutes a night, way better for their development. And that's something good teams have the advantage of doing, where you see bad teams rush players along.
Yeah. Do you want to do the last one on Hawk and Pop?
Just one other thought on, like, Robertson being in there.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
I think it's big picture stuff. I think it's in mind of keep him out there, keep him playing, and whatever value there is out there, and I know the numbers stink, but if I'm a team out there, I'd seriously consider trading for him.
I would too.
I don't have to give too much up. I don't know. Do you think you can get a third rounder for him?
You guys would be the worst pro scouts ever.
I think you can get a third rounder for him.
Yeah.
Maybe a fourth. I don't think a second.
No.
But
a second.
He's a pretty decent hockey player.
He's young.
You know,
he's young and he's got some upside.
He does.
Sammy, I don't know.
My whole identity is crapping all over this guy, so I'm just going to shut up.
I feel like all I ever do is crap on him, and I feel bad. I don't think on a contending team, he's in a position to think that he can be a top six, but I don't know that for sure. But I think teams should be willing to give him a look-see.
I don't think it's impossible that he has a games where he scores, you know, a clump of games
you
where
saw
he scores
something.
A bunch of goals.
When you predicted, 20 goals, 25 goals?
Yeah.
You saw something.
Yeah.
And we saw something when he had almost 15 goals last year.
Yeah. I mean, he is a unique shooter.
So I get if the Leafs want to keep him in the mix without completely dumping on an asset.
The best thing that ever happened for him is that everyone's injured. What else are you going to do?
You could have Dewar or Steve's in there.
No.
Saturday
night. No, they're in too. Right? Everyone's in.
Oh, no. So who's out?
Nobody. Alex Nylander.
Oh, Alex Nylander's out.
Oh, Alex Nylander's out. You're right. You're and right, Reeves right. is still suspended.
Yeah. Okay.
So, all I mean, right. he's better yeah. than Alex Nylander.
Yes.
All right. Let's go to break and get to
okay.
the Bunk Show.
All right. JD.
We got Bunk.
Does that mean I can go for a coffee? Because no one talks more than this guy.
He's gonna carry us through.
All right. JD Bunkus, when we return, co-host of Leaf Talk and the JD Bunkus podcast. Up next.
Hey, it's Ailish Forafar.
And I'm Justin Cuthbert.
Join us as we discuss the most important sports stories of the day and tee up the biggest games of the night.
It's the Fan Pregame, 6 p.m. weekdays on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Leaf edition of the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. As promised, our next guest could be the only guy in 25 years I've been around Sportsnet that's never lost for words. Anyone else come close?
I mean, you.
No. I just quietly sit here and listen to you guys.
Oh, yeah, what are you talking about?
I just do ins and outs. Yeah, right. J.D. Bunkus. From Leaf Talk Kathy. And your own podcast show called the J.D. Bunkus.
It's not even a podcast. Show. It's just the J.D. Bunkus. Yeah,
just the J.D.
Is that Bunkus. Just it?
Honestly, I think that might be a halfway decent rebrand, hey, just the J.D. Bunkus.
Can you tell it's Friday and I'm really out of gas right now? Because I need you bad. I hope you're like the Energizer Bunny right now, ready to go on the Leafs.
Brother, I always got it.
Okay.
I always got it. So, I am that guy. Listen, I always have it.
I think the overall talk, everybody's happy that Austin's coming back tomorrow night against Tampa Bay, but I want to get your perspective because you're like that new breed of journalism or, you know, talk, radio talk, podcast talk. What's your view on how Austin's injury was handled?
I personally wish there would have been a little bit more information. I understand that this is a guy who had a wrist injury early in his career and felt targeted and essentially from that moment forward wanted a different degree of privacy, a cone of silence with privacy. But I just find like the Leafs in general bumble a lot of these things, which is there's just seems to be bad communication with the fans. I get part of this may have been a setback, but then just kind of come out and say that. Don't have us picking between the words that Craig Berube is saying. And I feel like for a team that is so PR conscious, for a team that, you know, really cares about the narratives that are around the group, I don't know why they don't try to just kind of satiate some of the media and fan asks when it comes to things like this. Like, this is one of the best players on the planet. I know it's up for debate on your guys' show, the best player on the team, you know, one of the greatest goal scorers of a generation. And you can't give clarity beyond day to day and week to week and where he is. And I feel like so much of the discussion around it, so much of the speculation, so much of the guesswork that ends up happening is kind of their own doing. So, again, I understand Austin Matthews is not like a unique person in the NHL in that he doesn't want all of his injury information out there. He covets privacy, much like most players in the league. In fact, they just did a player poll to indicate that that is like the strong majority of hockey players. And Kipper, I'm sure you felt the same way. But man, oh man, it just, to me, it's like, you do this to yourself sometimes, and I don't think it's good for anybody. And I certainly don't think it's great for people who are season ticket holders or who are expected to pay huge dollars for tickets and concessions and all the things that come around with being a Leafs fan. So I'm mildly frustrated by it. I don't think that it's a huge issue or a massive problem. I certainly haven't lost sleep over it. But again, I think that it does speak to a team that at times really struggles to understand its own fan base. And I do think that it is an indicator of what we have now, which is teams in general seem to have a greater divide between the consumer and the team and what the goals are of those operations.
Bunk, you and I have been talking about the Maple Leafs for a lot of years now. And
sure have, brother.
And trying to find, you know, the breakthrough and trying to find a team where we say, okay, this is the one. We like the way this is built. I want to know with this team this year, what's important to you to see from this team And it can be, you know, anything. Is it important to you that they get Mitch Marner under contract? Is it important to you that they show physical, you know, a more physical play or better defense or goaltending? What right now feels most important to you about the Leafs?
So I do want to come back on the Marner thing because I have a question for Kip. Like, I only ask
questions on this show.
No, I would like to please ask if I can have one question for you because I think it's pertinent and I do think ask it right now?
Yeah, ask
the answer to your question? Okay, I like how I just immediately was like, hey, I'm going to take over that question for you. I do have a lot of answers to that. But yeah, Kip, so the Marner discourse lately has kicked up, right? And it's been, hey, what do you do? What do you sign him to? What's he asking for? And all these different things, which makes sense because he's playing great and Matthews has been out of the lineup and he's carried a line. And you look at some of the numbers on this guy, it's like, you know, he's second in the league and passes to the slot and he's scoring goals and he's playing with confidence. And so naturally people are going like, hey, you can't lose this guy. You can't lose this guy. Let's kick it up and let's talk about the contract extension. And to me, I've always been in the camp of like, there's really nothing to talk about because you need to see what happens after the playoffs. Like you need to see a proof of concept that is different than what we have seen year over year over year. But the question that I don't think enough people are asking when it comes to this thing and the timing of it is, do you get the sense that by the Leafs not reaching out to him and trying to meet whatever contractual demands they might have today in order to get a contract done, that that is in some way going to be viewed as adversarial by Mitch Marner and his team? Like, as in, you are running the risk every day of not extending Mitch Marner, that things can get uglier come the offseason. Because to me, that's the only reason that you would consider signing a contract during the regular season is if you feel like he and the team that he is represented by would be in some way angry or feel disrespected by a lack of an offer until said time, until the end of the season.
I'm sorry, do you have information that the Leafs aren't trying to sign him right now?
No, I actually feel like they have been kind of trying to sign
him.
It's a bad feel. Yeah.
No, he's saying that he believes that the Leafs aren't aggressive or reaching out to him to try to sign him.
And no, I think he's asked, are they?
No,
that feeling in probably wrong that they are trying to sign him and they are putting offers in. Is that basically what you're saying?
Well, I'm saying that if they're not meeting the demand, right? Like because if it's not done yet and they are trying to sign him, that would indicate to me that what he's asking for is a massive number and that they're still trying to haggle this thing down and figure out, you know, what it is going to be. But that if you are trying to do it right now and you're not getting it done, is this going to get personal? Like, does this get to a phase or does it have the potential to get to a phase in season where things get ugly between Marner and the Leafs? Like, do you think that he's taking it personally that, say, like with William Nylander, he signed a contract extension in season that it got done with Austin Matthews? It never felt like it was ever going to be a problem. And that if this thing does drag out and it goes to the end of the year, that they're going to be pissed about that.
I think there's different ways to look at it for sure. So, I mean, there might be a list of things that either the Leafs want to see or Marner wants to see. And I don't think that there's any rush. If you just on face value, JD, if you tell me that this is just about hitting a number, probably say that you're wrong, there's other factors that come into play in this whole dynamic. And as we know, Mitch is taking a lot of heat here. The question is, does he set himself up for that type of behavior to continue? Is he comfortable with it? I think that can play a factor. I think there's also a factor of, if I commit to the Leafs, is this a program that is going to give me a good shot at winning a Stanley Cup? Or is this team just spinning its wheels and I'm going to find myself being that guy that has a statue with him but never got to a conference final? I mean, there's a lot of different dynamics going into this. And I think the fact that we haven't seen a deal up until this point, and I don't know where we're going to be at Christmas or January or February, is because people want to respect each other's space. But I'm not sure Mitch Marner's in a race to go get a contract right now. So it's... there's two sides to this, and it's not just Mitch sitting there going, I've got a number, hit it, and I'll sign. I think it's important, but I don't know if I would have that at the top of my list on other things that maybe one another want to look at. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
I think that's actually really fascinating because, yeah, that's been sort of the sense I'm getting. And, you know, you saying that makes it seem like, say, I was talking about Vladimir Guerrero Jr. today on my podcast, right? And there's a growing sense, you know, Ben Nicholson-Smith mentioned this, that it has flipped from the Blue Jays wanting Vladimir Guerrero Jr. done to Vladimir Guerrero Jr., him being the one that is essentially deciding the contract extension. And so what I guess I'm reading is that the Leafs have kind of tendered a pretty aggressive number, and that it's actually this guy that's kind of holding it and going, you know what, let's wait and see. It's not the team that's going, let's wait and see, which is what I think most fans have been wanting in this situation, or at least been open to and receptive to in this situation. But it's kind of a wholehearted other deal if it's the player.
And they've done a really good job of kind of keeping it tight the last little while. We don't get any leakage. We don't get any Kevin Weeks. The Rangers just offered Shesterkin, right? Like there's nothing out there like that. But even if there is, it'll go back to a couple of scenarios, whether, you know, we're talking about John Tavares giving Islander fans 7 years ago, I'm staying, I want to stay, to, you know, that guy never wanted to stay, right? So you don't know what you're dealing with these guys going into their last year on what's important, where is the pecking order of money, family, right? Mitch is starting a family. Do I want my kids to be in an environment, you know, eventually, if I stay for another 8 years, to grow up to, you know, kids in junior kindergarten or senior kindergarten going, your dad screwed us with that contract. I don't know. We'll have to wait
and see. Those are fair considerations. Those are fair considerations. I still remember I think it was Hal Gill that told me a story once about him and Brian McCabe being at like a children's music concert, and people at the children's music concert, like, yeah, booing him like that, like something like Barney. You're like, oh yeah, the city can have those moments. So I would get those considerations. But again, like, I think that the way it's been framed to most of us was like, hey, the Leafs have to play tough, right? Going into the offseason. Hey, the Leafs can't just capitulate. They've got to have their internal cap structure. They've got to stand firm and stand their ground. And Mitch Marner has to be the first guy that this is going to change with. And then, yeah, it seems like, no, it's actually the opposite is true, is that they're the team that's willing to capitulate. They're the team that's willing to go up and kind of hit the number. And that it, maybe, yeah, like you said, it's Marner's camp that's a little reluctant or hesitant and is curious to see what might end up happening come season's end, which is like a huge shift in the dynamic that kind of happened quietly that no one seems to be, I think, acknowledging outside of mostly your guys' show.
Hey. There's a reason we are, you know, a good show, bud. I got news for you. News flash. News flash. That's why people listen.
Yeah. No, they're here for the Robertson takes.
Is there a take beyond he falls down a lot and that's like, that's it? Is there a more nuanced take than that?
There's take. I wish we could erase every take from the internet that I've ever had about this game.
You and I are a true blue embarrassment.
Yeah.
Are you okay with Robertson holding his spot in the likes of Steve's or
no
Doer underneath him?
No, I have no interest any longer in
you're breaking
the
up
Nick
with
Robertson
him?
Here. Yeah, I did a while ago. I felt like a fool the second I watched Max Pacioretty step out onto the ice, and I was like, oh, okay, like this guy can actually do things, and he's a real professional. And here I was having takes being like, you can't take the risk on the older guy that doesn't have the upside. And then I went, oh, right, you know, their size does matter in this league, and track record does matter in this league, and an offseason where a guy was getting healthy. And granted, he hasn't been able to stay it, so the big concern about Pacioretty was there, but they also built those that problem into his contract to kind of mitigate some of the problem that it presents. I think that you guys were talking about this the other day, how, you know, if you're not going to play Robertson up the lineup now, then why even have him at all? And I think to me, and, you know, again, you guys would know better than I would, but I would have to imagine that the Leafs have some kind of move in their back pocket, very similar to what they had with Timothy Liljegren. And that when they get forwards healthy, they're like, we got a plan. And he's the basically the first guy out. Like Grabenkin to me looks like he can have more of an impact. And I think he should still be down in the AHL. Fraser Minton clearly can have more of an impact. He should also still be down in the AHL. Like, it's not a good thing that when I watch Pontus Holmberg and I go, oh my God, I think Borny, you called him the least talented offensive player in the NHL, that I watch the least talented offensive player in the NHL. And I go, there is not one case that you can make to me that that guy is a worse hockey player or a less deserving player to be on the Maple Leafs than Nick Robertson. So I think once you've reached that point where it's multiple AHLers come up and help perform you, then the scenario is quite clear.
Okay. This will be the most important question I ask you on this segment.
Sure.
Is Justin Bourne's down and back or my undrafted book on your shelf behind you?
Justin Bourne's is? You never sent me a copy yeah. of yours.
To be clear, Bunk didn't pay for one.
I was going to say, like, nobody... Bourne gave me one that was signed with a nice inscription in it about our friendship. Like, Kipper, you know, you send it away, and I'll put it right on the shelf.
All right.
I'll get it right there beside
I'll
his.
Sign one to you.
Yeah, I'll take a signed copy, but so far there's been none. So, okay. You know, the ball's in your court there.
Yeah. I guess it is.
But both would make great holiday gifts.
I great. Like, hey, now I like you.
Yeah, there you go.
Great
there
call.
Go.
All right, JD, yeah. Thanks for joining us, man.
Thanks, Bunk.
Of course, guys. See you later.
Leaf Talk in the JD Bunkus podcast. That's where you can find that guy.
I don't really ever do this, but we do a show after every game, me and Bunk, on YouTube, on Sportsnet Plus, it's on podcast. So if you want the immediate Dumbo takes from me, and then I come back in here the after and be like, oh, crap, I was all wrong.
I actually think the idea of Leafs Talk, if you accept what it is, that there's been no time for calculated analysis, it's just how does it make you feel after the game?
And we do the playoff ones, value. And like, me going in there, having to, after Pastrnak bangs one in, I'm just like, oh my God. I'm about to cry. How am I going to do this?
It is nice that all the Leaf crazies have somewhere to go.
Yes.
After a game.
Yeah, like to, the immediate venting thing. You know what was fascinating is when I was with Sheldon Keefe and that staff, Lamoriello had them all fill out your immediate feeling about each player, 1 to 5.
After the game.
After the game. So each coach couldn't talk to each other. They would walk into the room in silence. I had put a sheet on each of their desks. Each player, 1 to 5, and a little comment if you wanted on the guys. And then they would get faxed away to Lou. Faxed, by the way.
Faxed.
Because he wanted that feeling. And then, like, the next day, you'd watch the video and be like, I had it all wrong.
That's actually fascinating.
You know, like, on this, that, or whatever. But Lou wanted that initial capture from the staff.
That is, that's really good.
Yeah.
I'm going to...
Me and Lou, same guy.
I'm going to do... I'm going to grab a few people out there and have them grade you guys after the show.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Not this week. Next week when there's more games, let's do it.
Yeah.
Okay. Who are you, Babcock, making a list? What's going on here?
Yes.
Who works hard?
I am.
Yeah.
And your lineup's slipping a little bit lately.
Guys. Listen.
Right?
There hasn't been games. Okay?
I got Derek Brandeo on it.
It's much improved from last year.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Austin...
Mackey.
Yes.
Austin Mackey.
Austin Mackey.
Yep.
Yeah. And you got horrible penmanship too, by the way.
That's why I type it out, buddy. So tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Big game, right?
Absolutely.
It's like we're measured into big game season here.
So how many games we got? Is Tampa playing right now?
Tampa's currently on the rink.
Hey, tell me who's in net, because I'll tell you who's not in net tomorrow night against the Leafs.
This is a good thought you're having.
Vasilevsky. In today,
I'm going to use the internet.
I think Tampa
2-2 with the Predators right now.
And who's in net?
And the goalie is. God, the internet's hard when people are waiting for
I got
you,
buddy.
All right, I'm box score.
Jonas Jonasson.
Okay, so then for the Leafs.
So then Vasilevsky will be back in, but do we really know? Like,
he's been good, Vasilevsky.
Yeah, he's like a 9-11.
He's coming around.
He's coming around?
He is. Unfortunately, he is coming around.
He had a tough one the other night, didn't he?
Yeah, but his numbers have, like, he was quite bad again at the start of the year, but he had a
Yeah. He's gotten back. It was Washington, I think, that came back at the end, eh?
Yeah.
On him?
Well, yeah, that was the game that, what's his name, shot at his own net.
Oh, yeah.
The goalie.
So his last Lindgren. His last five, he is at 844-920, 857, 895, and the 1,000. So
a 1,000.
Up and down.
Yeah, that's good.
I think, and, you know, that means no goals.
Right.
All right.
100%.
Sean Reynolds will get at the top of the hour coming up on our national show.
He's got King Sens, Hockey Night in Canada, so we can talk some Sens. He's got all the Jets knowledge in the world.
Oh, busy, busy. Do you like this, all these games while our show is going on?
Hate it.
I'm, you know, I haven't been betting much this year. I got some money on today, so I'm enjoying it.
You're doing well?
Yeah, 365. Okay. I didn't say I was doing well. I said I have money on it.
But the games, you need to know what period each game's going into.
Yeah. That was poor gambling on my part.
Okay, we're back. Don't go away.